It's good to see so many people here this morning, and especially some people I saw, some faces I saw last night at our Easter vigil. It was a long mass and a short night's rest, but it's good to see you here. Last night, we had three adults baptized, one baby baptized. We had three others that were baptized already but received into the church and confirmed. A fourth person who was Catholic but not confirmed, and so he was confirmed as well. So overall, eight people received sacraments last night, and we have three more who will receive, be received into the church as well at Ascension. So just a beautiful testament to how the Lord's working, how the Holy Spirit is working here at Queen of Peace. In 2011, I had the blessing of going on a pilgrimage to the Holy Land. The Holy Land is one of the two places I wish all Catholics could go at least once in their life. The Holy Land and Rome. The Holy Land and Rome. And I was there over Christmas break. And one of the opportunities that a person may have there is to visit the Holy Sepulchre. So the Holy Sepulchre is a church that's built over the Holy Sepulchre itself. The tomb, sepulchre means tomb, the tomb that Jesus died in, or died and was laid to rest in. That church is built over this tomb, as well as Calvary, the hill that Jesus died on. Those, they're so close that they built a big church over both places. And the neat thing about the Holy Sepulchre, the big church, is that they lock the door at 10 p.m. and then they open it at 4 a.m. And if you talk to them and you're kind enough and they know you're not going to goof around, you can actually be locked in the Holy Sepulchre, the church, overnight. And so I did that once. Another day, though, I got there really early, right when it was opening at 4 a.m., and I went to the tomb where there was an Italian priest who had signed up to offer the Mass. So the tomb is, it's tiny. Like, you can fit, they have an altar set up in the tomb, and then maybe like four people can just stand kind of shoulder to shoulder. And this was December 27th, the Feast of St. John the Apostle. And the Gospel read, that Italian priest read, was the same gospel we heard today. The gospel of St. John, of the beloved disciple. Who's the beloved disciple? It's St. John. So I was in the tomb with Mass, hearing the gospel where that gospel actually took place, literally, in the tomb. John, writing the gospel, is recounting his moment of looking into the tomb and seeing it empty, and the burial cloths wrapped and placed in a different side. And I was at Mass there too. So what we believe, right, about the host, the Blessed Sacrament, is that is Jesus Christ, body, blood, soul, and divinity, come present in the host. So at that Mass, in the tomb where Jesus rose from the dead, Jesus was present again, alive. Same Jesus, just in a different form. Substantially present, we say, sacramentally present, in that tomb where he had risen from the dead. But if we think about this, without the Mass in that tomb that morning, that tomb is basically just a historical place, a very significant historical place, I admit, but just an empty tomb at that point. Because, my friends, we don't just believe in an empty tomb. We believe in Jesus Christ risen from the dead, that he's alive, his body, blood, soul, and divinity, that he's present, alive in heaven. We believe that Jesus is alive. In a world today that feels very much like Good Friday, we need Easter Sunday. We need the risen Christ. In our own lives, which oftentimes very much feel like Good Friday, we need to be reminded of the victory of Easter Sunday. This is what Pope Benedict XVI said about the importance of the resurrection. He said, quote, "If there were no resurrection, the story of Jesus would have ended with Good Friday. His body would have decayed, and he would have become a has-been. But that would mean that God does not take initiatives in history, that he is either unable or unwilling to touch this world of ours, our human living and our dying. And that in turn would mean that love is futile, trivial, and empty and vain promise. It would mean that there is no judgment and no justice. It would mean that this moment is all that counts, and that right belongs to the cunning, the crafty, and those without consciences. I think Pope Benedict is correct, that without the resurrection, evil, injustice would have the upper hand. Abusive power, deceit, sin would have won. But is that an existence that we can even tolerate as humans, right? There's something in us that would just crumble, I think, if we truly, all there was is evil winning in the end, when goodness is defeated. My friends, we need to know that Good Friday is not just the end of the story. We need to know that our Good Fridays, our personal Good Fridays, are not the end of our story. The resurrection matters because it proves that God does act, that he makes things right in the end. The resurrection matters because it proves to us that God does care about the brokenness of our world and ourselves. That in the end, good triumphs over evil. In the end, justice defeats injustice. It shows us that faithfulness, goodness, and love is rewarded, and sin and evil is punished. In a world that feels very much like Good Friday, we need Easter Sunday. And if we are honest, we need to be reminded of that constantly, right? Because so often it's so easy to focus on the negatives, focus on the evil, focus on the suffering, the challenges. And we can get narrow-minded and say, oh, this is the only way it's going to be. We need to be reminded that Jesus is alive, that he has defeated death and sin, that goodness does win in the end. But we need to be reminded of this more than just on Easter Sunday, more than once a year. If we are honest, I need it, and I hope you would be honest to say that you need it at least every week. We need the resurrection every Sunday. I was in the Holy Sepulchre, the tomb of Jesus in Jerusalem, where he rose from the dead. But again, the risen Christ that rose from the dead in that tomb 2,000 years ago, he's not just in Jerusalem 2,000 years ago. He is here at Queen of Peace Parish every Mass, every Sunday. The risen Christ is here. Every Mass is Easter Sunday. Every Mass is Resurrection Sunday. Every Mass is the Lord's Day. In the early 4th century, Diocletian was the Roman emperor, and he hated the Christians. Christianity was forbidden throughout the entire of the empire. And he led one of the worst, if you will, persecutions against Christians. One Sunday in the year of 304, Roman officials surprised a group of 49 Christians who were having Mass in a private home, right? It was illegal. They didn't have churches like we have here. So they had Mass in their homes, and they had to do it privately. They had to do it secretively. These Roman officials heard about it somehow, and they surprised these 49 Christians, and they were all arrested. And the commander was interrogating these Christians as to why they would do this. You know it is forbidden. It goes against the emperor's edicts. And so he asked the priest. And the priest said, quote, "We have celebrated Dominicus, We have celebrated Dominicus. Dominicus in Latin means the things of the Lord, the Lord's Day. We have celebrated the Lord's Day. Okay? That was honest or true enough. The commander gets to the owner of the house. His name is Emeritus. Emeritus. And he asks Emeritus why you would host such an illegal gathering. You know what this means now. Why would you do this? And Emeritus responded, "Sine Domenico non possimus." Without the Lord's Day, without what pertains to the Lord, we cannot be. Possimus, we cannot be. Without celebrating what pertains to the Lord, we cannot be. Pay attention to this. Emeritus isn't just saying, you know, I hosted this because we're Christians and we have these rules and, you know, God is more important than the emperor, so we're going to follow God's rules instead of the emperor's rules. That's true. Emeritus is saying something much more deeper. Without celebrating that all pertains to the Lord, we cannot be who we are. We just cannot be unless we celebrate the Lord's Day. Like, it's hardwired into us. We're chosen by the Lord. We belong to Him. So now we just have to do this. We have to be this way. If we don't do this, we're not being who we are made to be. This is what gives my life meaning. We're going to do it no matter what, no matter what the consequences are. Can you, as a Christian, be who you truly are without celebrating the things of the Lord? And again, not can you just not do Christian things without Sunday, meaning that, you know, we need the Lord's Day so that we have strength to do Christian things. Is it deeper than that for you? That as a Christian, you just aren't yourself without the Lord's Day. That you don't make sense to yourself. You don't even comprehend your being without the Lord's Day. Because that's the way it should be as a Catholic. That you cannot be, you cannot exist. You don't make sense. Your life is absurd without celebrating the things of the Lord. My friends, in a world that seems like Good Friday, we need Easter Sunday. We need it, though, every Sunday. Sine Domenico non possimus. Without celebrating the Lord's Day, the things of the Lord, we simply cannot be. Sine Domenico non possimus.